Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, this is Dr. John Stamey, and welcome to Pro Wrestling Interviews. We got a hot, hot show tonight. It's a lot of fun. We got some great co-hosts and a great, great superstar guest to introduce you to in just a moment. First of all, co-host number one from Charleston, South Carolina, and a very good guy, very knowledgeable about wrestling, the one and only Adam Helm. How are you doing tonight, Adam?
Man, I am doing good, doing good. Hope everyone's holiday was good. So can't wait for the show. Been looking forward to it.
Absolutely. I have, too, ever since you announced it. It's going to be a lot of fun. And we've got the one and only Sinister. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing great. I hope everybody else is doing well.
We're glad to have you here tonight. Thanks for being here with us, and we hope you're here for many more. You're just a lot of – buddy, I think you're a lot of fun to have on the show. And our man from Indianapolis, Todd Saxon. How are you doing tonight, Todd?
Outstanding, the supernatural, and ecstatic to be here. Managed to actually be awake at this time of the night on a Sunday night, so sorry not having been here lately. Gents, hope all are doing well.
I think everybody's doing well. We got an extra special show tonight. We really do. And before we get started, I wanted to tell everybody, I just got a book in from Vinny Berry, our good friend from up in Indiana. He's got a book called Wrestleville, The Pro Wrestling Vault, Volume 1. It's full of pictures. It's full of interviews. It's full of everything. And we're going to have Vinny Berry on the show in 2 to 3 weeks as soon as I can get through this book so that at least one of us will know about the book before we get on the show with him. But no, we've had Vinny on before. Great guy. He wrote the book Lance by Chance, the story of Lance Von Erich. And he's a good friend of Pro Wrestling Interviews. And I'll tell you what, he is a good friend of Scarycast. He's a good friend of a lot of people, so we're glad to have him here. And I just saw another caller, area code 843-729. Who's calling in?
It is me, the host of Pro Wrestling Interviews, The Amazing Velvet.
Hey, Velvet. Golly, good to hear from you.
Surprise.
What's going on, buddy? Talk to us.
Well, I don't know what you got going on. I want to call in and let everybody know who doesn't know who on the line and who downloads and listens across the great world of ours. An update on what's going on with me. So,
tell us what's going on with you, Bill.
All right. Well, here's what's going on. I'll try to make it short and sweet. It's a lot of info to digest. I started chemo, which ran 21 straight days, and by day 11, I was already debilitated. It put sores on my feet to where I hobbled to make it to the bathroom. I couldn't walk more than inside the house. If I went outside, it was ridiculous. I just couldn't make it. If I had to go somewhere to get something, if they didn't have a drive-thru, it wasn't going to happen. And then I couldn't drive because I have a stick shift car, and my feet were so tore up from this chemo, and my hands and my mouth. It debilitated my speech.
Man.
It debilitated my eating. If I didn't have my shoes on in the house, if I tried to walk in a pair of socks, it was like walking on hot coals and glass. It put calluses on my feet and my heels and underneath my toes, so it made it really hard to walk. And anyway, that's what the chemo was doing. It was doing its job, but you also got to realize chemo is poison to your body, but it's doing its job. So anyway, I did that. I'm going to let this out. A lot of people don't know this has happened, okay? I have an oncologist who prescribes the chemo and is in charge of my chemo regimen. Well, this guy's an egomaniac. and we've had some falling out. He's gotten butt hurt a couple times. Well, I came into his office with a blood pressure stroke level. I was at 172 over 120.
Not good.
I was dizzy. I was having a hard time concentrating and listening to what was going on. Well, my wife got set up by the nurse practitioner because they knew this was an opportunity they could take. So anyway, I'll make this short and sweet. Anyway, so she comes in, asks me a question, when did I start the chemo? Well, this chemo also makes your blood pressure spike. Did not know that. Wasn't informed on that. So she asked me when I started. I told her I believed when, and then I said, no, let me think about that a minute. And I was really discombobulated at the time. Well, she just started getting in an argument with my wife, who's my healthcare power of attorney. So she has every right to ask questions and be there when they say they can't. Anyway, so she starts asking stuff, and they get into it. And so the nurse practitioner goes, well, I'm just going to go get the doctor. And my wife goes, go get him. So he comes in, and this man, I've never seen this man get angry, nothing, because he's full of himself. Well, he grew a pair and decided to yell at my wife. Me, I was so out of it that I had a knee-jerk reaction to he said something to her, and I couldn't have got up anyway. I mean, I had no power to do anything at this point. And he said, if you don't think we're taking the best care of your husband, then you're sadly mistaken. That's when I had that knee-jerk reaction. And when we locked eyes, had I been able to get up, I probably would have caught a charge. But I saw the fear in his eyes. And I said, you know what, I can't get up. I can't do it. So anyway, but he did this unprofessionally. He opened when he came in the room to do this, the entire suite heard it. All the other doctors, all the other nurses, all the other practitioners, PAs, because he left the door wide open and was very unprofessional about it. So I decided to get a second opinion at the Medical University of South Carolina because I'm at another place with this doctor. Well, we set up. I got a consult coming up, right? This is about not last week, but the week before, okay? They called and said, hey, we can't set up an appointment until we get your records. I'm going to contact the records department, and as soon as we get the records, I'll call you back. So that was 2 weeks ago. She emailed them, no answer. She emailed them a second time in that week, no answer. So Monday of last week, she called them and said, hey, I need to get the records sent over for continued care. They said, nope, you have to fill out the form. She goes, no, I don't. It's doctor to doctor, and I don't have to fill out a form. And the lady started to argue with the lady from the medical university, and the lady from the medical university said, do you not understand that's against the law, that you have to send it? And they said, she basically said, like, they didn't care. And she said, well, you need to fill out a form. So I filled out the form. She sent the form to me. I signed it. I had a witness sign it, sent it back, heard nothing. So if I don't hear anything tomorrow by lunchtime, because I have to go see the oncologist at 3:30 tomorrow that I'm dealing with this issue, if they haven't sent the file over, and I know it's a lot, but if they haven't sent it over and I have to avoid another appointment with getting a second opinion, it's time to have other people get involved. So let's just say I'll be speaking to my attorney, and it's going to get ugly at this point, and it shouldn't have to get that ugly. This is healthcare. If you don't think healthcare is being sucked into the vortex of what's going on in this country, you're sadly mistaken. I'll just let you know that now. You're sadly mistaken. I'm fighting for my life every day. We've been aggressive. I've had 25% of my liver taken out. After after it metastasized from colorectal cancer, which I've cleared that. I've cleared the liver after having that surgery. It's just the lungs being difficult. Had a spot removed. It came back. It's in a really bad spot. So pain is, go ahead. Question.
When he came in the room to do this, the entire...
What's that? I can't hear what you're saying.
Yeah, that audio's hurt, Jeff. We did
and
not
so,
get the question or the comment. Over.
All right.
Looks like
go ahead.
Was
you
on.
Take the floor, brother.
So, with all of that being said and done, I hope none of y'all have to go through what I'm going through. I hope none of you get sick. I hope you stay healthy as long as possible, or even all the way to the end, just be healthy. I know it's a milestone to do those things as you get older, but I pray that all of you on this call, all of my friends, my wrestling family, my family, everybody, just stay as healthy as possible. You know, if you got to change something now, do it now. You know, the biggest thing is, you don't think anything like this is going to happen to you. Number one, getting struck out with cancer. Number two, having to deal with bureaucracy in your healthcare. That should not even be there. You know that you are dealing with people every day. Don't think that my family, my wife, myself are going to be the only ones to ever come in your office and put you on blast for laying back and not taking care of the situation. It's going to happen again. So, you know, we're just trying to keep our foot on the gas. That's all we're trying to do.
Yeah, roger that, brother.
So, who else is still on the call besides Todd?
Well, we're all still here.
Okay. Well, somebody said something or a comment or a question, and I missed it.
I think we all missed it, Velvet. This is Dr. John. We've got our guest on, and we'll let Adam get the questioning started, and boy, we're glad to have
right.
you on here.
Go for it. Go for it.
Well, everybody, we all want to introduce... He's a promoter, he's a wrestler, he's a trainer. Ladies and gentlemen, I introduce you to Chief Jay Eagle. Chief, how are you tonight, sir?
I'm good, buddy. Had a busy week and kind of relaxing today to get over it. We had a show Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and so we was all banged up today.
Well, I'm glad you're able to join us tonight and, you know, relax a little bit. And for anyone that hasn't heard about you, I mean, there's a lot of information. And I did my research before I reached out to you to get you on there. I had the pleasure of meeting you a couple years ago at an AWS show where you and the Amazing Velvet were honored into AWS Achievement Awards. But let's go ahead and get into your career. If I did my research correctly, you started in 1977. Who were you trained by?
I mostly was trained by Bruce Bernard, and then I met Wahoo McDaniel, started hanging out with him a little bit, and Spartanburg had a little gym in the Whitney area. It was run by a cowboy, Joe Gilbert, and he had some trainees in there with One Man Gang and Rick Starr and Lord, a lot of guys that's done dead now, but anyway, I went in there and bumped around a little bit, and started working with them, and I didn't go through much training. They threw me in the ring right away. They had some shows booked, needed some guys, so I was wide open. I think that was like 1976
mm-hmm.
when that happened.
So,
I've been around 45 years now. I run every Saturday night and some other days during the week, but mostly every Saturday night. And I've been doing that for about 40 years and been wrestling about 45 years, so I've enjoyed it. I've seen the United States and a lot of local stuff because I always had a family and wanted to come home at night. But I got enough of it to say I've been wrestling for a while.
That's awesome. A lot of people have actually come through your training school, and you, a lot of guys that even as me as a promoter, I've been able to use and everything. So also, were you also trained by George South a little bit? If I did my research correctly.
No, it was the other way around. When I met George, he was working out at a gym in I think it was Kings Mountain or something. It was a boxing gym, and there was a guy too in there that wanted to get in wrestling, and I met them, and I was working for, when I met George, I was working for three or four promoters down around the North Carolina coast, and one of them was Johnny Hunter. And I worked George on a little old independent show, and I said, this kid's going to be good. So I would tell the promoters, I got a kid that wants to come in and work a match. He ain't worried about no money. He just wants to get his foot in the door, and they'd say, bring him on. Well, I'd take him to the show, and he was gone from there. Everybody was booking him.
That's awesome. I was reading a little bit about your history, and I wondered what the full story was going to be. When you first started wrestling, if I'm not mistaken, did your mother jump in the ring thinking you were really getting hurt?
Yeah, I went. Probably maybe my second or third match, I carried my mom and dad, and they was pretty elderly then. And me and my partner was a kid named Don Gilbert. We was wrestling the Bandits. They was two masked guys that looked just alike. And they had a manager, and the manager would draw the referee, and they'd keep switching in and out. And we was having a ball, and I noticed all at once that my mama was in the ring standing over me. And I told her to get the hell out, and she told me get the hell out. And the Bandits run, they jumped out of the ring. And for years I got ragged about that because I would work shows and people would say, well, I'm going to work Eagle if his mama ain't with him. And I said, yeah, that's funny. I've heard that a million times. But yeah, she was something else. But after she even for 20 years she lived after that. And she never was smart enough. I never really tried because she was so much fun. And she wasn't really, I had a brother 12 years younger than me. I got him in the business, and when he came along, she wasn't worried about me no more. She was worried about, was he going to get hurt?
You know, reading everything, you know, I see you did some time in the National Wrestling Alliance in the NWA. Tell me how you got involved with them. I saw the NWA and also NWA Wildside.
Well, the Wild Side was originally, just telling you how Wild Side got started, is Rick Michaels and Chance Williams and them guys was coming down here working for me, and they was liking what I was doing where I was running every week in the same building. So Rick went back there and started up Antarctica or Wild Side or whatever they called it then, and some of my guys went down there and helped him get going, and then Bill Burns and a lot of them got involved, and they started using a lot of Georgia talent, and some of them guys that would work down there would come up and work for me up here. Like if they was booked down there on a Saturday, they'd come work for me that same weekend or whatever, depending on what days I was running. So like AJ Styles, when he come through there, he'd come up here and work for me, and Shane Ham, there's quite a few of them that done that. And then, you know, they may work a couple of shows, and then I just didn't see them no more. They went up north. And so, but I worked for the old NWA when Wahoo was alive. I went down to Georgia and worked Pez Watley on some shows and Jimmy Garvin and some other guys, and gotten to know a lot of them. But I've always sort of been the type of guy, I'd rather have been a big fish in a little pond than be up north in a big pond where you don't stand out. So that's always what kept me going.
I know somebody you wrestled, Jay, in the NWA.
Who's that?
Jack Briscoe.
Oh yeah. I worked with a lot of them guys many years.
Oh, I know. It was a good match. I mean, you know, watching that stuff, going back and seeing it on YouTube with you in there, it was awesome, dude. So.
Yeah, well, I watched a lot of guys like Randy Savage called me and he said, "I heard you run a group, Carolina." I said, "Yeah." He said, "You got many guys?" I said, "Yeah, I got quite a few." He said, "Well, how many can you bring up?" So I rounded up about a half a dozen guys, and we went up to Lexington, Kentucky and worked for Randy, and I got to know him. And while we was there, well, I had carried up Gary Royal and Rick Starr, and while we was there, I was telling him about One Man Gang. He was working for me as King Kong, and I told him how big he was, and he could do a drop kick. And Randy said, "That's hard to believe. Bring him up here and let me see him." So when I went back in 2 weeks, I carried George, which is One Man Gang, and he never come back. He went from there to Mid South to, you know, a little history in Memphis and WF, and yeah. He left the Commodore's 8-track tape in my van when I carried him up and he met them, and I still got that 8-track tape down in my cardboard.
Awesome.
I told him when he come through a while back, I still had that tape. He said, "Man, I can't believe that." I said, "Yeah, you left it in my van, and I didn't see you for like 7-8 years, and eventually it just stayed there, and I got rid of the van and kept the tape."
Oh, man. This is Todd. Let me ask you a question. How happy were you when we were able to get those cassette converters for the 8-tracks?
I don't even know how you would play one now.
All I'm saying is we had those things that slid in that were every bit as big as an 8-track, and then you could slide a cassette into it. I'm one of those ones that grew up that always thought that there was a click, pause, click in Stairway to Heaven. I'm just saying.
I don't know, but I do remember having to stick cigarette papers or something beside the tape because it'd start dragging and getting wore out.
Yep.
That's a little wind.
Yeah.
Stick it over. You know, something to keep it playing. And you know, I still got some of those old things in my car, old garage out here out back. I don't know what I'd ever do with them.
I suspect Adam is going, what the hell are they talking about?
Adam, this is real stuff.
But Chief, do you have any good stories of working with Wahoo McDaniel, teaming with him? You know, any stuff in the locker room? Because I heard that he was a character in the locker room back in the day.
Yeah, he was. He was a rubber. I remember more stuff about me and him as being out. We worked in Ohio somewhere, and we come back down the mountain that night, and he had a pickup truck. It had a sliding glass blender in the back of it, and he'd put his beer outside that blender, slide that over, and pull it back. Well, he bought a case of beer, and I drunk two, and he drunk another 22 coming down the mountain, scared the shit out of me. I tell you, he wouldn't drink much before he wrestled, but when the show was over, he started
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and he come to Spartanburg one time, and he called me in the middle of the night, and we had worked a show, and he went to a nightclub called the Silver Bullet after that. Well, when he left the bar up in the night, he drove over the curb instead of going out the driveway. Well, the police got him. He called me to go to Western Union and pick up his money and come get him out of jail. But when I got to the courthouse that next day, I had to wait about an hour for him to come out because the judges and the lawyers all was getting his autograph.
Oh, wow. That's funny.
They put the article in the newspaper. I still got a copy of the wristband that he cut off his arm to throw it away, the one they give you in jail. And I said, whoa, give me that. And I still got that thing after all these years. But it meant something to me because he was my hero way before I ever knew that I was going to get in wrestling. He was in a hunting club with my daddy, and he come home one day, and he offered to let me ride with him and a Swede Hansen to a show. And then when we got together, he wanted me to drive, so they could sit in the back seat and drink. So that was okay. I had a lot of fun. I just drove and just hung on every word they said. You know, driving and
listening.
That's awesome. And then, yeah, it was something to me. I mean, you know, them guys were bigger than life to me before I met them and got to know them. And I tell you, if it wasn't for Wahoo, I'd probably never gotten a business because he made me want to do it. We'd eat at the Shawnee's and all them places, and they would never charge him and me just because I was with him. But, you know, they'd hand us a ticket, and then they'd take the ticket back and say, oh, we got it.
Hey, I got a quick funny one for Jay.
Okay.
Right after I kind of took a break, and I had that jet blonde hair? Well, I let it all grow out, and my hair got really, really dark, and I had a mustache at that point. So I went with my whole family to go to Ryan's Steakhouse and eat, right? So we're fairly dressed nice, you know. I got a nice pair of slacks on and probably have my penny loafers on that I still have to this day, and a nice shirt, right? We all went out nice. So I'm sitting there between my mom and dad and whatever, and we're sitting there talking, and we start talking about wrestling. I said, well, yeah. He said, we were just talking about different things. So this guy, the waiter walks up and goes, can I get your autograph, Mr. Malenko? I went, excuse me? They thought it was Dean Malenko, and this was my family. So I played along. I said, sure, gave him the autograph.
That's hilarious.
And he took our ticket for a whole table of 12 people and said, it's on us. I started laughing. I thought that was the funniest thing ever. I said, see?
Yeah, I remember my wife was eating in Spartanburg at Ruby Tuesdays, and the manager came to our table and asked me, he said, we'll give you a free meal if you'll chop my cook. I said, what? He said, yeah, I want him to pull his shirt off and you to chop him. I said, well, I do it for the meal, and then they give us free ice cream after we give us the free meal, and the cook would walk around with his shirt pulled up, showing everybody the handprint on his chest.
Yeah, that's funny, too.
Go ahead. It's funny, this just happened Friday night. Me and my wife stopped at a fish camp going to Packlet, South Carolina to eat, and there were some people in there that was wrestling fans, but I didn't know them. I thought they was going where I was, but they wasn't. But anyway, a guy come by and picked up my ticket, and he said, I paid for it. And I said, why are you paying for my ticket? He said, because I've seen you a wrestler, and you ain't no fighter. You an entertainer. I said, well, I'm going to take that as a compliment. He paid for my meal, and me and my wife sat there wondering, well, who was that?
Right? That's awesome, though.
Made me feel. I think it's because I didn't got old. I don't do all the flips and stuff anymore, but I'm still a nasty old-ass heel when I want to be. I can rock the building.
That's right. That's right.
The thing about it really lets the fans down. When I come out with my feathers, they think babyface right away, and they start clapping and cheering. And then when I tell them to shut up, they don't know what's going on. So
right.
It don't take me 2 minutes to turn them on me.
That's awesome.
Very nice.
You always had that gift. You've always had that gift, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, I got the gift of gab. That's what my daddy said.
That's right.
My son, Easy Money, is like that, too. He's starting to get where he talks a lot of trash. But speaking of trash, you guys know Damian Legion, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
He done changed his gimmick now. He ain't Damian Legion no more. He's Bo Ray the Town Drunk.
Now that's funny.
Oh, yeah. At first, I hated to see him do it because everybody knew Damian Legion up here. So
yeah.
I had to see him do it a time or two to get the appreciation of him doing it. It's something different. But he gets the drunk part over, so I give him kudos on that. I watched him the other night. But, yeah, I still run every Saturday night. Any of you guys want to come up? I'm always looking for more wrestlers where I run so much. And, you know, I give anybody a chance. If they don't mind getting their South Carolina license, I give them all the work they want.
Exactly.
Very nice, very nice. I've been trying to get up there to for show and everything, you know, because a lot of my friends and a lot of people that I've worked with is, and let's mention some of the people. We're talking about APW. A lot of guys have actually come through there, and some have been former guests of Pro Wrestling Interviews, and one in particular a couple of weeks ago, Dump Truck, came through. What's your experience with Dump Truck and everything? I hear, you know, he don't like clowns too much.
Yeah, well, he's a natural baby face. I tried him as a heel, but he's a natural baby face. He interacts with the people and they feel like he's one of them, and he's big mouth, and he's always running me down, mostly because I'm running him down, but I like to do a feud with him because he gets his heart into it and he gets the people behind it. And then when I come out and screw him some way that where he should have won, oh, they ready for nothing. So we've been dragging that out for 2 months now. And him and Jeff Morris won the tag straps the other night. And I said, well, I don't know where we're going with this now because I didn't want to drop mine in his feud. But I got some new guys coming in here pretty soon, and Mickey Richards is coming back, and I still got Nick Fury and AJ Frost. Yeah, and me and the Sheik's tight. We've been since I met the kid. He wasn't even a wrestler then, and there's so many guys I got in the business that turned out to do something good, and I wish he would just come work for me, but I understand when you want to do something close to home because I don't like to travel like I did all them years now.
Exactly.
And I can't get away from wrestling. When I do, I got 30 people hollering, don't quit. If you quit, we ain't got nowhere to go. But, you know, I still love the business. So. And I'm 68. I need to get out of the ring, but when I can go out and rock a crowd, it's hard to get out of the ring.
No, you know, you ain't lying, bro. I'm going to get back in the ring. What are you talking about?
let me interrupt y'all real quick. But we actually have another caller on the line. If we can get him in, Dr. John, one of the greatest professional wrestling managers, Chaz Moretti, should be on hold. Maybe we can get him in the conversation.
Oh, Chaz.
Hello, gentlemen.
Chaz, how you doing?
There he is.
Here
oh,
I am.
Man,
in the neighborhood.
Phrasing of the worst gentleman,
wait a minute.
Chaz.
You're right. You're supposed
well,
to say,
take,
and
listen,
I use that
Todd.
Loosely.
Hold on. All those months and years that I've been ripping on you guys and putting you down and telling you how you're inferior and how I'm better than you are, I was being generous tonight.
Oh.
Oh, Lord, are you half-bagged? I'm just going to ask just to, you know.
Oh, no,
that
I haven't even begun to drink
that
yet.
That would justify it.
Yeah, as
no,
Doc Holliday used to say, I have not yet begun to defile myself.
Todd, he's not a half bag. He's an ass bag.
Hey, now don't give it away. Never give away what you can sell.
I love you, man. You know it.
Well, Chad,
thank you for joining the conversation.
Hey,
we're sitting here
you guys know why? Do you guys know what? Do you guys know what? Why an 8-track had to be good in the whole album?
Oh,
because
Lord.
You had to keep on driving to hear a song a second time.
Oh.
Everybody knows that.
That's right.
So the whole album better be good, because if you want to listen to something a second time, you got to keep on driving. But
that's
Chief, I'm going to take you up on your offer. I'm doing a tour in 2022. It's going to be called Roll the Dice again, and I don't know if it's going to be the last one, but it's definitely going to be a tour that I've been looking forward to. So if you would like to have me at your promotion, I'd be more than happy to come work for you.
Sounds good, buddy. We're there every week, rain, sleet, or snow, and I've only been to shows 30 years because of weather, but we're there. Even if you can't get out to go home, we do it. I'd love to have you, because I run every week. I'm always open for new talents. You know what I mean? I got my regular guys good at what they
I'm more than happy to.
I gotta say, just for the record here, Chaz does not qualify as new talent.
For South Carolina,
a lot
new
of my new talent, my crowd, I've known for 30 years. So.
Yep. No, it would be I would be brand spanking new to your territory. I'd be more than happy to. I did the Memphis run back in July, and that was a lot of fun. Because when I got there, they introduced me on the first night in the promo, and the crowd started cheering me. And I'm like, oh, geez, they don't know me. All right, we'll have to fix this real quick. Yeah, 3 seconds later, I insulted them, their parents, and their grandparents, and they figured out real quick that they didn't like me. It was awesome.
Nice.
Except for it was 112 in the arena. And the only person in that crowd I really didn't like was the fat guy that was sitting in front of the air conditioner.
Don't talk about Dave like that.
I can see why.
He spent he got his $5 worth, boy, I tell you. The rest of us died and seemed like kippers, but he was nice and cool.
Y'all stupid. Oh,
of course we are. We're in professional wrestling. We got to be stupid.
I miss having you on commercial applications, just saying.
Yeah, you know, I had a couple of health scares, boys, and it took a little time to get back to some semblance of normal. And so now I'm starting to feel better. I'm starting to get back to doing what I'm doing and, you know, cutting promos and resuming my booking schedule. Like I said, I had to cancel all my bookings for 2021 because of what was going on. But, no, I'm back. And, you know, I got to tell you, it's so easy to work the internet fanboys. It's hilarious. One of the released talents was selling gear. And I made a comment. I said, does anybody really care? And that was it. The fanboys came out of the woodwork. And one guy goes, that talent has 1,000 times more than you'll ever sniff. I said, then good. Buy her bikini and sniff her talent. Have a good time. Another one tells me, says, are you what happens when you order Don Callis off a Wish? I said, no, but you're what happens when your parents make the mistake of not using contraception. Okay, I'm done. Back to Jay.
No. Hey, Jay, I got a question for you.
All right,
this is Velvet. Do you remember when Tommy Feathers and the Amazing Velvet used to be there on the regular, and you actually gave us a blind rib that we didn't know that we were getting into? And so I remember us getting out of the ring, coming to the back, and you said, no, don't change. I want you to run around to the front, come in through the front door, and slide into the ring and not let this person see y'all. Do you remember who that was?
I don't know, maybe Stasiak or something?
No, it was Reverend Slim.
Oh, yeah.
And we
one
did
the
Reverend Slim
Yeah, but remember we did the rib and he got so mad at you and you in the back laughing, you couldn't even talk to him.
Probably, yeah. Yeah, we had a fire there.
So funny. Oh, my God, it was so funny because that's when Tommy Feather said, can I pick the hymns tonight? He said, I want him and him and him, and that's when he ran in the back.
Yeah. I tell you, I put up Tommy Moe's and Nick Fury's been doing it. You know, we dug stuff up that I didn't even remember doing until I seen the tape, 20 years later. But we had a ball.
I came across a match early on, right when I got in the ring as I was managing the Gambler, and I got fully trained, and I was working some shows, and I saw where I was doing Dynamite Dave, and I went, holy crap. But yeah, it's amazing to go back and see some of that stuff. You go, wow, I really did that.
Yeah, wasn't Tommy working for the highway department or something?
He was, and then he was.
I thought I was saying.
Yeah, and then he retired from that, and now he's doing over the road. He's the over the road truck driver right now.
Okay.
So it's been so long,
I probably wouldn't know him if I met him on the street.
Oh, yeah, you would. He ain't changed one bit. He's still got the long hair, the handlebar mustache. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
He ain't changed one bit. If he cleans up, you'll recognize him. But he had, like, a full beard going on because he was driving, you know. And then he came home.
I always told him he ought to be arrested for mental ugliness.
That's funny. That's funny. All right, Adam, go. Hit him with some more stuff.
Well, Jay, I got a question. Since you have all these years in the business, did you ever pass it on to your children? Your children ever wanted to get into the ring?
Well, my oldest son is Easy Money. He's not in the business anymore, but a lot of guys have heard of him. And my youngest son, which he's 33 now, he's Dusty Money. And they both have worked for me, but my oldest son, he got out of bed about 10 years ago, and I don't push him, but my youngest son's done, I don't know if he's pulled a muscle or pinched a nerve or something right at the back of his neck. He got a little stinger.
Oui.
And I had a show at the Piedmont Interstate Fair 2 weeks ago, and he wrestled all week, and on the fourth night out or something, he did the old Bobby Eaton thing where he jumped off the top rope and landed on his butt, and he said I told him, I said it kind of sounds like a whiplash or something, but yeah, I hadn't pushed him to wrestle since then, so, and then we had three shows this week. I mean, I sound like I'm blowing my own horn, but he can do stuff I never could do.
But you're running, though.
You know,
that's the whole thing. You're running. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's, like I say, I ain't saying it because he's my son, but he's one of the biggest draws I got. And that's why he knows all the arena rats, too.
Right.
Yeah, the rats come out when he's around.
Well,
but
that's
anyway.
A good thing. You know, just
yeah, I know.
Just
that's what I say.
Say.
I hate it. He ain't wrestling right now because he's really an addition to what I do.
Right.
I don't know if it'll be this year, but I'm trying to retire. It's just hard to walk away.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I hope he gets better. I hope it's nothing serious because you could work that, working back in the ring slowly by working that injury angle to where he's really good and then have somebody jump him and boom, now you got a match.
Well, I mean, we've like done that 100 times. Think about it. I want him to be real so he can what he does best. I'd hate him going there hurt and trying to work. I've done it. So much.
Jay, I think it's wonderful that you're running every week. Honestly, I do. I think it's definitely something that we don't see up north. I mean, up north here, some of these guys will run once a month, and some will run once every 3 months. and they act like they're the second coming of Vince McMahon. So, I mean, me being an old school territory guy, I just think it's wonderful that you're running every week.
Well, it's hard to have a storyline if you don't run every week. Because, I mean, you go to town once a month, the people don't remember it. But just
like me and Duck Cup here,
we walk into the building on Saturday night, they already raising hell because he got screwed the week before or he's got me this week finally. He's got me where he wants me, and they excited.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And we don't hit that bell at 8 o'clock. That crowd's roaring. They ready for it. Let's go.
Well, let me ask you a question about that, because if you're sitting there running that stuff every week, you got some guys that are busting their behinds.
Yes.
Day in, day
out. I got guys that should go somewhere, but their family unit keeps them from it. You know what I mean?
I can't be mad at those guys. Just saying. But you got a couple guys that are standouts that you want to get some props on right now, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Nick Fury.
Yeah.
Jeff Miller.
Yeah.
Jerry Reimer.
Yeah, you got to have some people that are hot.
Well, I'm more or less calling out the guys that I think are my top guys. I do angles with a lot of these same guys. But then I like to mix them up, too, and not have the same guys every week. So the guys I consider to be hot right now is Jet Morris and Nick Fury and Dirty Nightmare. I got some good guys, Chris James, not to leave nobody out, but they all good guys. They're good in their own way. You know what I mean? Everybody ain't a high flyer, but...
Right.
They got the mouth on them,
or I see... You know, I got 9 out of 10 guys that walk in the dressing room after their match and say, how was that? Man, I listen to the crowd. I don't watch the... I've seen a million matches. I listen to the crowd. The crowd likes the highlights.
Right. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly how it is. You know, you want to see how the crowd reacts to them, because you can have a great wrestler and the crowd doesn't react, then they're not making money for you, so there's no point to use them.
Exactly. And, you know, I'm from the old school. Old Charlie Bob and them old guys used to tell me, it ain't how many... flips you cut, it's how many tickets you sell. And I said, well, that's true.
Exactly.
You know,
yep.
How many people. And anything drives me crazy is one of my top heels to see him standing out talking to the crowd lined up at the door. That just kills me. I said, y'all, he's killing his feet doing it. But, you know, you get a little bit of everything. But when you're dealing with pro wrestlers, the egos and the attitudes, as hardest to deal with, is usually your best talent.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a rookie one time ask me if I saw his match. He says, bro, did you see my match? And I said, did you see my wife out there? And he goes, no. And then she's outside smoking a cigarette, and you sucked.
Okay. I ain't going to call his name, but we got one guy. We call him... We'll just call him Cigarette Break is what we'll call him, because when he wrestles, you see the people going out the cigarette area.
That's what my wife did.
And
hey, my wife would...
music as I'm running in.
My wife would get up in the middle of the show, the match was bad, and yell, Cigarette Break, and walk out the door.
I believe it.
And the kids would come up to me going, bro, did you see my match? Did you see Amy? No,
nope.
And you suck. She's outside smoking.
Exactly. You know, a lot of
let's talk about your school real quick.
Yeah, let's talk about the school. Absolutely.
Let's talk about your school. Because we only got about 10 minutes left of the show. So let's go ahead and let's talk about your school that you run. You run classes twice a week, am I correct?
Yeah, well, right now we are. We was only doing every Tuesday, but I had certain trainees that couldn't come on Tuesday, so I started doing Thursdays, too, and that's what we've been doing. But during this cold weather, I'd like to pull it back to once a week. I mean, I don't live that far, maybe 12 miles from the building, but, you know, going in there and cranking up all them lights and the heat and everything, that's about $100 every time I crank the building up. So, yeah, and we've had a lot of good. We got quite a few students started this past week or two, and some of them got their first matches at the fair, and I ain't seen them since. So, you never know what's going on when you're dealing with a bunch of guys.
So
I don't track them down if they show up. They know I'm there at 7 o'clock every Tuesday.
So what is your ideal student that walks in? Do you want someone that has a sports background, or will you take anyone that walks in to train?
Both. I mean, we got it online and people call in, but we picked up most of our students from a paid crowd. They come in there and they say, oh, I knew that, and 9 out of 10 of them don't make it. But we'll get a good one every now and then.
Oh, yeah.
And if you mean like Buff Bagel, if you mean somebody drunk running into a tree, yeah, I get some of them, too.
Oh, wow.
That's great.
I shouldn't have said that. He's my buddy.
and I've been trying to get him on the show, so we might have to bring that up.
he's living with old Ron Gossett right now.
Oh,
you know,
really?
He runs that. That UFC or whatever it is, UWC or something.
Right.
Yeah, he's living with him. I talked to Buff Bagel's wife, I guess, probably 2 weeks ago. She told me he was living with him now. But he can't hardly walk. I mean, he's like Book Me Eagle, but the last 2 times I booked him, he was on crutches. I mean, he couldn't do nothing.
That's all. Yeah, you come on now. You can't do nothing. Well, you trying to get hurt even more?
I tell you what we did do. We had him on Mother's Day and told the crowd anybody that come on Mother's Day could get their picture took with him. So we put all the women in the ring at one time and put him in there and took a picture. Well, I had to get something out of him.
Well, exactly. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Just real quick, in my research, I saw that you recreated from Starrcade a dog collar match with Greg Valentine. Can you give me a little insight on that?
Yeah, well, they had a legend show in Spartanburg at the auditorium, and I'd already been friends with Greg from when Wahoo was alive, and they talked about wanting to do something with me, so we did a regular match, and we did a double count out. Then they brought us back in a strap match and put me over, and then they brought us back in a dog collar and put Greg over, and then he worked the following week for me at my building. So I love the old man. I'm going to tell you right now, he's a good guy.
Yeah,
of those three, which one took the most toll on your body? Was it the strap or was it the dog collar match?
Probably the. One thing about the strap, we don't hold back. We knock the shit out of each other. But you got to kind of work the dog collar. You jerk each other around with it, stuff, wrap it around your head and get collar, you know, but. I always enjoyed the strap matches. I mean, you know, you learn little tricks like getting a strap between their legs and tripping them and stuff like that, and tying each other up. Yes. Get thrown out of the ring and then drag them out. I mean, a lot of stuff you can do, but I enjoyed working with Greg a lot, very lot.
Wow.
Nice.
Well, gentlemen,
you got to say the one thing that you know, Greg is going to go as hard as you do, and sometimes he goes a little bit harder.
Well,
oh man, I'm
Velvet,
a, he's always got to show me he can chop harder than me, and that's okay.
Right.
But I worked him in Mooresville, North Carolina. And we was getting up, and I was going to chop him as we was getting up. So when I rode back and slung it, he dropped his head, and I hit him right in the chin. And he said, I saw lights.
Oh.
He said, just a flash of lights. I said, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. He said, that's okay. But he says, you're supposed to be old. Slow down. I said, I know. I hate I hit him in the chin, but I knocked the shit out of him. But he got a kick out of it.
That's funny. That's great.
I like his style, that slow. I always was
yeah.
a Johnny Valentine fan. I like that slow, methodical style.
Oh,
where
absolutely.
And you can't do that with nobody no more. They one or two guys
nope.
that I can do that. Guys will lock up with you and lay over on you till they get you in the corner. And I mean, you know, it's just a lost art.
Yep.
Absolutely yes.
is. 100%.
I explained to my students, it's that your selling's what makes you something these days. It ain't what you can dish out, but it, your
yep.
style of selling, just like Flair, that's what he's good at.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Make it believe.
Yeah, that
exactly.
old methodical style, that was the Carolina style. That was, at least what I saw back
yep.
in the 80s, that was straight Carolina style. I mean,
oh,
Dick
yeah.
Slater
oh, yeah.
was probably one of the best at that.
First time I ever worked Bob Orton Jr., when we locked up, he brushed my nose with his elbow, and my nose was pouring blood during the match, and he kept telling me the whole time, looks good, kid. Man, I love it. It looks good, your nose. And then I found out after my match it was initiation. It wasn't an accident.
Oh.
Sure
well,
did.
Gentlemen, we have
right.
about three minutes left. Chief, won't you tell us a little, real quick, just give us a quick synopsis on your school and how people can get a hold of you if they want to come work for you or even come train.
Anybody wants to work or come, I'm Jay Eagle, just Jay Eagle on Facebook. I got a Chief Jay Eagle, but the best way to get me is just the Jay Eagle. And always looking for new talent. If you don't mind getting a South Carolina license and you want to wrestle somewhere you can wrestle regularly, not wait once or twice a month, and love to have you. The school's in Spartanburg, South Carolina. Also, you can get in touch with me on American Pro Wrestling Forum or American Pro Wrestling School of Pro Wrestling, the Chop Shop. We always hear our number if you want us. You want to jot it down, is 864-702-8000. So, love for all of you to come down. We'll save a seat for you.
Awesome.
Sounds great. That sounds great. Chaz, you got anything going on soon?
Not till 2022. Like I said, I'm putting together this tour, and I'm going to try to get down to New Orleans, get back to Memphis, get out east. And now, you know, I'd love to work the Carolinas, so we're definitely looking to do this and make it a fairly big deal.
Very nice. Very. And Dr. John, if you're still there, if you want to take us home, go ahead.
Yes, sir. Well, first of all, it was great. It was great having Jay Eagle, Chief Jay Eagle. Thank you for being with us. Velvet, thanks for making a guest appearance. We always love having you. All I got to say is thanks to everybody else that was on, Chaz Moretti, Adam Helm, everybody. So thanks a lot for being here. We'll see you next week, 9 p.m. Eastern, on the one and
thanks,
only
Adam.
Pro Wrestling Interviews. Have a good week, everybody, okay? This is Dr.
All
John
right.
signing off.
Thank
on.
You
we'll
guys
week.
For having me. Chief out.
Yep.
All right.
Take care, guys.
Great show. Chief Jason.